turn up without warning. He had all the money he wanted, yet I never knew where it came from. There was a closet in his room which was always kept locked and bolted. I knew from the way he acted about it that the closet contained the answer to all the things I wanted to know about him. One night, while he was away, I obtained tools and tried to force the lock.
Good evening, Claudia. You didn't expect me back, did you?
No,
I knew you'd try to open that closet someday.
Why do you keep it locked?
So that no one but me could know what's in there.
Not even me?
You in particular.
But, Doc!
You won't attempt to open it again, will you, Claudia?
No.
Forgive me for striking you. But I'm not quite myself tonight. I sometimes do things I regret when these moods come upon me.
Yes, of course.
It's something few people know, but a person who has extraordinary powers carries an extraordinary burden.
You mean you're a bit disheartened?
Yes. I didn't care to mention it. It seems to upset you so.
Well, it doesn't strike me any longer.
Did you read in the newspaper about a woman's body being found in the river? She'd been murdered.
Yes, it was in this evening's paper. They don't know who she is.
I can tell you who she is. Josephine Ford. A stupid girl, Claudia. I could have told you 3 days ago that she'd be murdered.
How do you know these things?
Because I see them in a sort of vision. Just now I'm seeing another vision. It's a house 346 Harbor Street, down near the waterfront. A young woman lies in bed reading. She's very attractive. In an hour, she'll be dead. And when the police come, they'll find her body decapitated.
Oh, God. Oh, while you were gone, Martha Wallstone telephoned. She's ill again. She asked me to come up immediately.
Well, why didn't you go?
Well, I was waiting for you to get home before I left.
You want to leave?
If you don't mind, it's really an emergency. It took only a few minutes to get to the waterfront. I found the house at 346 Harvard Street. I went in. The lamp in the bedroom was burning. I looked at the bed. I think.
All right, Mrs. Dale. You think you can sit up now?
Detective Quinn.
Yes. I hardly expected to find you here.
Oh, I came because Gus Dragman predicted this would happen.
Now, Mrs. Dale.
You still don't believe me.
You're a strange woman, all right. You accuse this man of killing your husband, and then you marry him. Now, I suppose you're going to accuse him of this murder, too.
Yes, this, and heaven only knows how many others.
Mrs. Dale, don't you realize that you haven't got a single piece of evidence to back up your contention?
Well, I'll get the evidence tonight. Will you let me have a gun?
No.
Well, will you be near my house? I'll need protection.
Now, after
all... What must I do to convince you? What in? I've risked my own life, and I'm willing to risk it again. He's a monster. Are you going to wait until he murders me before you believe what I say?
All right. I'll give it a try. I'll come back to your house with you. If you want me for an emergency, smash the window pane.
We drove back together. I dropped Detective Quinn on the corner. The house seemed deserted when I came in. I wasn't taking any chances. I went to the kitchen, got a knife, hid it in the folds of the long sleeve gown I was wearing. I went into Garth's room. He wasn't there, but the closet door was open. What I saw in there nearly made me ill. Clothes. Goth clothes. Some of them bloody. I forced myself to examine them. Then I found something that made my heart beat fast. A little jewelry case.
I'll take that, Claudia. Give me that jewelry case, please.
No, no, don't shoot.
I cue.
Goth!
Now get away from that window, Claudia. Do as I tell you.
Oh, no, don't shoot, Goth!
You were so anxious to see what's in that closet. Well, now you have. Sit down.
What are you going to do?
Tell me who killed your husband.
You?
No. You.
You're insane.
I've written out a confession for you to sign.
What'll happen if I don't sign it?
I credited you with more imagination. Would you like to hear it?
Yes. Yes, read it, please.
Sit over here away from that window.
Yes.
I, Claudia Dale, murdered my first husband, Willard Banks, for his insurance by administering poison.
My first husband?
Yes, Claudia. I mean to make this document strong enough to send you to your death if I wish. I've got all the details here. Just how you murdered your first husband and how you killed your second. Shall I go on?
No! You know it's a lie!
Will you sign it?
Of course not! What is your game anyway? If you want to kill me, why don't you shoot? You've been very successful before. There's no reason why you shouldn't succeed again. Go on. Go on. Shoot.
You put me in a very difficult position, Claudia. You see, you have found out certain things about me, things that would cost me my life. I should prefer to see you live because I love you. But I shouldn't hesitate to murder you.
You love me?
Yes.
Yet you haven't taken me in your arms once since I've known you.
The right time hasn't arrived.
And what do you consider the right time?
When I feel that you understand me. When I feel that you, who murdered two men, would understand my deep and strange desires.
You really believe I'm a murderer?
Yes. And that's why I love you.
Then the time is now.
The time
to take me in your arms. He still held a gun. He wasn't more than 2 inches from me. I turned my lips up to him. I twisted my body to get out of the range of his revolver. When I felt his lips touch mine, I slowly let the knife slip into my hand. Slowly, caressingly, I drew my hand up toward his neck. Then I plunge the blade in.
Claudia!
Hurry!
I'm coming!
Hurry!
What happened?
I killed him. And here is the proof that he murdered my husband. I found it in the jewelry case he had in his pocket. It's the fake ring that was missing from my husband's body. Now, do you believe me? That's the whole story. I realize that you as the district attorney must know all the facts. And there they are.
Thank you. There are a few points in the story that interest me particularly. First, the confession that he asked you to sign.
What about it?
The confession says that you were not in Pittsfield at 4 a.m. when your husband was killed. That you gave your friend Martha Wallstone a sleeping pill, drove down here, shot your husband, drove back to Pittsfield, turned Miss Wallstone's bedside clock to 4:15 and wakened her. Then you gave her some medicine to impress the time on her. She thought it was 4:15 and went back to sleep.
Well, Garth was very clever at things like this. He had the extraordinary brilliance of the insane.
Just one question. Was that the way that you murdered Howard Dale?
But Garth murdered him. The ring proved it.
He never had the ring. You put it in the jewelry box.
What you mean? Garth was a homicidal maniac. He predicted the death of the people he murdered.
Mrs. Dragman, don't you know yet?
Know what?
Garth Dragman was a detective working out of my office. That's how he knew about those deaths. He was put on the case because we suspected you of murdering your first husband as well as your second.
A detective?
Yes. And you are going to die for killing him. It's extremely clever of you to murder him. But you never would have gotten away with it if he hadn't kissed you. He kissed you because he fell in love with you. The poor fool. Well, friends, that just goes to prove you should never pick up hitchhikers who come out of cemeteries at night. I bet you've guessed the moral for our story. Well, it's taken from a famous quotation that Harry the Hangman uttered during a nightmare. Quote, "Never steal the rings of people you murder on account of that's robbery." Well, friends, it's time once again to close that creaking door. Until next week at this same time, when we'll be back with a little hunk of horror. You'll be sure to listen, won't you? Until next week, then.
Good night. Pleasant.